This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success.
Raising money is an amazing thing. Think about those people that know how to raise money. You have statistically a way better chance of being successful in your personal, professional, and philanthropic life. I can change the world because I can raise money. Because that truly helps a charity more than anything else. Yes, on the holiday, I went down to Dana Point, and my wife and I make chili, and with other families, we fed, 45 people that are down on their luck. Gave them blankets, beautiful. But that's nothing like Elon Musk giving $10 billion for our environment. That's impact. So for me, I practice raising money, and the way that I raise money is one simple mathematical equation. Can I articulate a quantitative value to exceed what I'm asking for? Can I articulate that? Now, let me give you the biggest secrets of speaking business-wise, because a lot of people don't think about this. One of the most common questions for new speakers, you may have asked this of your coach, what should I charge? Anyone ever ask that or think that when you're speaking? Okay. Let me help you out. There's only two prices in speaking, selling, buying, every transaction you're ever going to have. There's only two prices. There is perceived value. That's a price. Perceived value is your comfort level and confidence in articulating that value to exceed what you're asking for. So I charge $100,000 to speak. And the reason I charge $100,000 to speak is I'm very confident and very comfortable articulating the value to exceed what you're what I'm asking for to exceed. So if I go in front of Denny's or Dropbox or any of these big companies, the first question I ask is, how many people are going to be there? If I'm raising money, I have a great Boy Scout story, right? They called me and my immediate reaction was early speaking. Boy Scout said, hey, we have you and Mike Tirico going to keynote the annual celebration for the Boy Scouts. And my immediate reaction is, yes, I would love to talk to that audience. I'm going to do this for free because it's a charity. But I shut up for a second and I waited and they said, how much would it be? I said, well, I'm $100,000. Oh, we don't have that kind of budget. My next reaction was, oh, shit, I better tell them I'll do it for free or they're just going to use Tirico, not me. That's my first reaction. And then I said, well, what's the purpose of the event? Well, we're raising money for Boy Scouts. What'd you raise last year? $1.5 million. I said, Mike's much more well-known. I said, do you sell out these events? Oh yeah, every year, no problem selling it out. I said, good, because there's better names to sell tickets. I could introduce you, to Warren Moon or Denzel Washington. Those guys will sell tickets all day long. I said, but you want to know what my specialty is? What's that? I know how to raise money. So not only will I speak, but I'm going to raise over $1 million more than you did last year if you let me speak. Really? I'll guarantee it. You'll guarantee it. Yeah, you guarantee it. So you're $100,000 and you're going to guarantee that you'll make us $1.5 million more than last year. Yeah, absolutely. Huh. Well, we only have a budget of 75. Done. That's how perceived value works. Now, bottom line was zero, right? I admitted it to you, what was going on in my head. My bottom line was I wanted to speak and get that content, meet all those people, align with the charity I believe in, all the reasons you would speak for free as well. But I stuck to my perceived value. If you're a beginning speaker, your perceived value should be $5,000. You shouldn't even speak until you feel comfortable and confident in explaining why your perceived value is $5,000. You also can have a bottom line for every speech if you're a beginning speaker of zero. That's fine. Just make sure you get the other stuff that you need, like giving out something, collecting the data, capturing the content, whatever else you think is important that may be worth more than the $5,000, the ability to make an ask on stage. I don't know what your business is. But that's what we need to do. We need to know our perceived value, which is only indicated by your comfort level and confidence in articulating the value to exceed what you're asking for, and two, know your bottom line. Or else you're gonna end up in that same stupid place. Hey, you know, we're interested in you speaking. How much are you? Right? That's everybody's common answer. Well, you're still, man, am I confident in you compared to David Meltzer, who's guaranteeing what he does. Why did I guarantee it? Anybody realize why I guarantee it? I know I'm confident and comfortable saying my value.
You wanted to give him a higher value than what you were asking him.
Right. It is the easiest way to guarantee articulation of a quantitative value to exceed what you're asking for if you guarantee that they're going to make more money than you're getting paid. And nobody does it, so you're unique. But there's one other key component why I could confidently just say, I guarantee that. Not only was I confident I could do it, any idea?
You probably did it before. You have experience?
Yeah, that's part of it. You know what the real reason was? My bottom line was zero. I was willing to do it for nothing. So what if I didn't, and I raised $2 million, by the way, right? Which helps everyone. But what do you think would have happened if I raised $1.2 million over what they did, not $1.5 million? What do you think the chances are they were going to take all that money back? Not very high. But if they did, I had the advantage of knowing I would have done this for free anyway. And all it would have done was build my brand that I was a man of my word, that I donated back the $75,000 because I didn't live up to what I promised. And guess all those people there that donated money would hear the story, and who would they want to hire? Because they're not, yeah, exactly. They're not going to say, oh, that guy sucked. He only raised $1.2 million over what we did last year. But even if they wanted that. And to that end, too, just so you know, I ended up more. But because I knew my bottom line, I donated and matched to help it. $25,000, they didn't know how much I was being paid. So on stage, to motivate people for the extra money, I said, I will match any, right? The first $25,000, raise your hand right now for $25,000. The first person, everybody that's gonna give $25,000, raise your hand, I'll match the first person. So I got everybody to commit, but I only matched the $25,000. That got a big boost. You can do all these things, but only if you know two things, perceived value and bottom line. And it's not just in speaking. Like, you can make millions of dollars in real estate and cars. People just don't think about it. And then the third component for you is timing and risk tolerance. If you do an analysis of your timing and risk tolerance, especially in speaking, before you negotiate, then you won't have any of this misguided, what do I do? If you know your timing and risk tolerance, like I did going to Syracuse to do the Boy Scout thing, I asked all the questions. I knew what I was getting. I knew my timing and risk tolerance. The good thing about timing and risk tolerance, you may be disappointed if you don't get what you anticipated timing and risk tolerance wise, but you'll never be resentful or guilty about what happened. It's kind of like a lottery ticket. If I told you $2 for a lottery ticket today, you have a 1 in a billion chance to make $500 million. We all find out on Saturday at 8 p.m. and you lose your $2, you may be disappointed, but you're not guilty and resentful that you did the $2. And that's the difference. It's okay to be disappointed, but if somehow you found out it was rigged, now you would be guilty and resentful because it wasn't aligned with the timing and risk tolerance because of a guarantee that there wasn't any risk that they were stealing your money. It was just a matter of 1 billion to $500 million chance or whatever it was. You see, it's really important to understand timing and risk tolerance, perceived value and bottom line, especially in speaking. Do not be a. It's like people raising money. By the way, if I do financing, and I'm going to say this quickly, if you're a woman, give me time to finish because you'll get pissed off at the first half. I only take men's money to give to women and women of color. So if you're a woman, you are not allowed to give me money in my fund. But if you're a man, I only fund women and women of color, because to me, the greatest injustice and inequity in America in entrepreneurial capitalism, that our most talented people are not getting funded. And if you take, literally, if you take away Stanford graduates, if you look at women and women of color and take away any woman that's graduated from Stanford, it's less than 2% of the people that are most qualified to do good business, women, and women of color, by the way, they're not getting funded. We're ruining our country by not, you know, not paying the best players.
What's the process?
I'll send you a link to apply.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to know what the process.
Yeah, just fill that out.
I fall under both those categories.
I noticed, that's beautiful, thank you. We wouldn't be here without you, by the way. So thank you, all of us wouldn't be.